finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or a woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same. Jails, institutions, and death. Father, love you.
There you go.
Go. Thank you. How about, what is the NA program, please?
I hear you.
You following me around?
Yeah.
Sure, I'm an addict. What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups, and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us, regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thanks. How about, why are we here?
Our family of an addict named Will.
Will.
Why are we here? Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed our use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seem to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffer from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible.
Thanks, Will.
How about how it works? Charlie.
I'm Charlie, I'm an addict.
Charlie.
How it works, if you already have the offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. These are the principles that made our recovery possible. One, we admitted that we are powerless over our addiction, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This sounds like a big order, and we can't do it all at once. We didn't become addicted in one day, so remember, easy does it. There is one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. This is an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. Three of these that are indispensable are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely realistic, for the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. We feel that our way is practical, for the one addict can best understand and help another addict. We believe that the sooner we face our problems within our society in everyday living, just that much faster do we become acceptable, responsible, and productive members of that society. The only way to keep from returning to active addiction is not to take the first drug. If you are like us, you know that one is too many and a thousand never enough. We put great emphasis on this, for we know that when we use drugs in any form or substitute one for another, we release our addiction all over again. Thinking of alcohol is different from other drugs has caused a great many addicts to relapse. Before we came to NA, many of us viewed alcohol separately, but we cannot afford to be confused about this. Alcohol is a drug. We are people with a disease of addiction who must abstain from all drugs in order to recover.
Thanks, Charlie.
Never ask me to do that again.
How about the 12 traditions, please?
Surprise.
It was random.
What's it?
Yeah.
Cool.
My name's Craig. I'm an addict. The 12 traditions of NA. We keep what we have only with vigilance, and just as freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all be well. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Number six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in our dealings with others and society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise. Communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversies, and troubles with individuals and groups outside the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to the traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work.
Yep. Can we have We Do Recover, please?
My name's Amanda, I'm an addict. We do recover. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks, Amanda. How about Just For Today?
Hi, Liam.
Hi, Jeremy.
I'm an addict named Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy.
Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program I will try to follow to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using, and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Thanks, Jeremy.
You're welcome.
Okay. I'm an addict named Lance.
Hi, Lance.
Hi, gang. It's time to introduce the speaker. I just met the gentleman, but I got heard some good things from folks that I know him and I know them, so I'm looking forward to hearing his lead here. I give you Frank B. from Behind Enemy Lines, group of Narcotics Anonymous in Westminster, Maryland. Woo!
Frank, I'm an addict. Sometimes when it sinks in, you know, what's going on here? You know, I gotta let it sink in. You know, I gotta stop everything. All the thoughts, and just understand the magnitude of the miracle, as the literature says. The idea that it's, I don't know, 150 people or whatever, sitting here on a Friday night, understanding how it could be, how it was. The idea that that I had a vehicle, that I have money to put gas in, it has insurance, all the tires are good right now. It's under routine maintenance. That I could afford to come here. Because sometimes, man, life on life's terms, and, you know, I can forget these things. I'm grateful. I'm a grateful recovering addict. You hear that term? You hear people say that? But in our literature, it says, my gratitude speaks. Right? How does gratitude speak? You know, to be able to come to this event, man, you know, to be able to see some people I know, but to meet people I don't know, to be able to, how about this? To be able to get past my separation, the things in my mind that I isolate, the things that want to make you different than me so that I don't allow you to know me. Right? I'm so grateful for the committee, the people that probably been working for a whole year. You know, if you don't know, this didn't just happen. It's been people meeting every week or every 2 weeks, or, you know, that's been calling. I've been in communication with Nikki for like 5 months. And I probably asked her the same question 5 times. She never once cussed me out. To have the ability for Narcotics Anonymous to get this facility. Like, people put this together, man. The we of the program, the group, talks about the group as the most powerful vehicle, right? The service structure. I'm an addict that couldn't stop using. There was no concern about anything like this. It was a life of, you know, When I got clean, man, they told me never forget your last one. If you don't forget your last one, you don't got to go back to it. Amen. Right? And they used to say that a lot, but I don't hear it as much. But my last one, I can sit here and recall that thing vividly. And I know it doesn't matter what or how much we used, who our connections were, what we done in the past, how much or how little we had, only about what we want to do about our problem, how we can help. But I think part of the identification for the addict that's new to this process, you know, it might be helpful if you understand that my clean date is April 12, 2002, but I didn't show up to NA for any other reason but to stop using drugs. I didn't come to NA to get anything that I might have been graced with since I've been here. And it's a lot. I came into an NA meeting after having a couple years clean from 1997 to 99, after, you know, losing the obsession to use, getting in a relationship, man, and losing my damn mind. 27 years old, met a young lady who was, I think I had 6 months, she had, you know, 60 days. And I didn't know the difference between love and lust. You know, I thought that crazy look she gave me was because I was just that damn good. You know, now I know what the hell that look is. But we have to learn from our own experience. And that's not a knock on her, man. You know, because it was the kind of relationship where, I'm gonna tell you the type dude I was. I'm from Southwest Baltimore. I was in a recovery house, right? I would do 100 push-ups, hit the little 25s on the curls, right? Put a tank top on and go to the 12 o'clock meeting. Then I'd go in the meeting, and I would sit there and I would put my fist behind my hand, I mean behind my biceps when I used to have some, you know, and make them stick out. And I had a watch. And the light would shine through they had a skylight on Christian Street. It was an old, and the light would come through that skylight and I would make the light catch my watch. And you know, you could take the ray and like shine it at people, right? So I would, you know, I would manipulate the ray, the light to hit her in the eye or whoever the her was. You know, cause I was on the chase. You know, I was feeling good about myself. I was working out. I was being recognized in Narcotics Anonymous. My sponsor was Billy P, man. Billy carried a strong message. We went all over the place. It was a great time. And the ray caught her eye. You know, and I had my bicep. You know, I act like I ain't do it, though. I'm like, you know, just she looks over and I look at her and, you know, wink at her and whatever. Sick ass shit, man. But it worked. And we hooked up, man, and like, understand this, man. I'm the dude that never had a damn thing. I never had a car before then. I never had a bill in my name. All I did was use. When the literature says I live to use and use to live, when I picked up at 15, I basically got high for the rest of the time I got high. That was it. You know, and it doesn't really matter what that process is, but the end of the road is the most important part. It talks about when at the end of the road that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without the drug. So now the thing that used to, Will was talking about this earlier, the thing that used to fix that hole, you know, because I suffered from this disease of degradation, this disease of loneliness, this disease of emptiness way before I picked the drug up. It says in the first step that our inability to control our uses of drugs is only a symptom. Not only are we powerless over drugs, we're powerless over addiction as well, right? So this hole that was in me, I was filling way before I got picked the drug up. I filled it with being funnier than you, being bigger than you, hitting you harder on the court, on the field, on the whatever, winning, being better in school. Look, I just had to be better. I was addicted to being better than you. Because if it appeared that I was better than you, then I was validated, right? This is how shallow I was, though. I was validated within myself. But even then, right, there was times when I won, but I was still lonely, if that makes sense. So even then, the drug had stopped working. The thing that I was using to fill that void we talk about had stopped working, man. So I'm in NA, you know, I meet this young lady. I'm the guy that never had nothing. You know, we hook up, man, the infatuation was just, it was intense. You know, and the feelings were strong. And man, don't love feel good in the beginning? Oh my God, doesn't it feel good in the beginning? Come on now. You know, you just can't wait to see that person, man. It's just making me feel some shit, man. So we're getting together, we're hooking up. You know, we move in together. You know, I'm working, she's working. You know, we're NA Rookie Couple of the Year. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, some of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, a couple of y'all in here, okay. You know? But then, like, it started getting kind of sick. What I mean is, like, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to a meeting. With who? Meeting's over at 9, it's 9:15. Wasn't no cell phones. I didn't have one back then, in 97, 99. You get back, it's like, you get back at 9:30, she's like, where are you at? Where you been? I went to the meeting, you know. So that the thing that looked like infatuation and love was like this dependency, man. This sickness, right? It says that we realized we were sick people and why are we here? But things were so good, I'm just gonna be honest, sexually, right? That I, you know, I couldn't get out. I was in, man. I was all in, right? I remember hearing topics back when I got clean, man, like letting go of claw marks. You know, and they had this hoodie with like these claws of like blood going down, you know. I couldn't let go, man. My fear was that the things that, this is how shallow I was, right? This is why step work is so important. But my fear was like somebody else was gonna reap the benefits of what I was getting. And I know it's kids here, so I'm just trying to explain this in a way. And like, even though I knew, man, that the relationship was toxic, it was sick, I couldn't let go, and one day I just used. I left a meeting, right, and I got high. And every time that I've ever attempted to get clean in my life, whenever I've decided to get high, there's always been an intervention from higher power, man. Right? Because they told me, man, a head full of drugs and a body full of NA is not, I mean, a body full of NA and a head full of whatever, it's not going to mix. Right? A head full of NA and a body full of drugs is not going to mix, right? I remember going to cop and it was this old dope fiend, right, from my neighborhood. And I pull up and I'm like, boy, let's go. He said, go where? I said, come on, man, I'm trying to get one. He said, I ain't going with you. He said, look, man, you've been doing good. Whatever you're doing, you need to keep doing that. So that was intervention number one. And then the next people I go to, they're like, you 5-0, we ain't serving you. But my desire, my willingness, right, was stronger than the intervention that was being put in front of me. And there's a message in that, right? Because that's a theme throughout my recovery, man. You know, when my wants override my needs, like in a third step kind of hit. So I use, man. I go nuts. I mean, I go nuts. And I never stay off out of prison for more than a couple months when I'm using. Never. I've never been out of prison more than a couple months. And the car, the house, the NA medallion, the NA ring, anything that was worth any value. I'm at the pawn shop at the end, man, selling half a bottle of cologne and shit. Whatever, man. Tennis shoes, everything must go, and everything's $10. Everything must go, and everything is $10, man. You know, I don't care what it is, I'm selling it. And I got what I was supposed to get, which was more time. I went into the prison system, and somebody sent me all the literature. They sent me a basic text. They sent me a Just for the Day book. They sent me a It Works How and Why, right? And this is something that I had never did, but this was around 2000, I think. I went in and I was practicing recovery behind the walls. Right? I don't know if anybody can relate to that, right? But in Maryland, and I guess it's like this here too, man. The system is wild. That ain't a place to be practicing recovery. You know, trying to practice spiritual principles on the tier. It's just not, it's not an easy thing to do. Be honest, have integrity, be open-minded, you know, be willing, you know, be humble. You know, because, you know, it's all about the mask for me when I'm locked up. You know, I get big and I walk, you know, like this. You know, and I keep my face real tight and I try to keep people away from me. It was February 1st. I came home on a modification that I had forgot about. And this is the insanity, man. And I had nowhere to go. I went back to her. It was good for about 3 days. You know. And look, it's just like the drug use, newcomer, right? You know how they say you pick up right where you left off when you go back to using? It was just like that, like the relationship. After 3 days, we was on the same shit, man. She liked to hit me, man. I'm not gonna put my hands on her. But anyway, right back to that. I use April 1st, April Fool's Day. I just, look, again, man, like the spiritual turmoil, man, the uncomfortability from within. I just can't be comfortable with me. When I'm living in defect of character and fear and hostage ship, man, right? The program of Narcotics Anonymous give me a life of freedom. And I can't live a dirty life being clean. It just doesn't mix anymore. And that process started way back then. So I'm in spiritual turmoil, man. I'm not content. Nothing's enough. You ever been back into that corner you can't get out of clean? I'm back in that corner, man. And you know what? The message is that we can get out of that corner clean if I practice the program. Right? I know the literature says you can back yourself into a corner that you can't get out of clean, right? But I know now that what looks like that corner, I've gotten out of clean in the last 20 years.
That's right.
Right? I know that I can get to a place where I think using is an option, but I ain't got to use, man. Right. This is a no matter what process, man. But back then, I didn't know that, and I used. And I used for 11 days. I was in and out of about 5-6 psych wards, man, because those were treatment centers back then. You know, you went in the emergency room, you said, look, I'm going to kill myself. That was treatment. It wasn't no you getting treatment like that, man. I went up, I go in the ER, I knew the route. Well, what you going to do? I'm walking in front of a bus. I'm going to walk right in front of a bus. Really? Yeah, really. Because if they let me go and I do that, they got liability, so they had to take me. Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you what, there's a consequence of that shit. I'm getting ready to explain it. So you know, my last use of a drug, man, was April 11th, 2002, right? I had 5 hours. I hooked, we call it hooking. You know, I hooked up with a guy, I didn't even know he had 5 hours. I had 5 hours. I purchased a substance. We injected it. I used, you know, right? I heard what I always heard, helicopters. Intense. Woof, woof, woof. I remember this. I took that joint out of my arm and threw it and took off running. And I'm in an area where it really shouldn't be no white people running. I'm on Hollins and Pulaski, Will. And every black dude there is like, he got my pack. But my ass was gone. And I come running out. I come out of an alley on the Pratt Street. Police looks at me. I just keep going. Shoo. I come out another alley. They looking like, yo, what's he doing? I'm so gone. I can't even fathom that I might get killed right now. I run all the way down McHenry Street. Not too many people are familiar with what I'm talking about, but I ran about a half mile. Then I start hiding behind cars. So now I'm running behind a car, stopping, looking, making sure nobody's out there, running to the next car. It's a lot of goddamn cars in Baltimore on the street. So I probably ran like 100 cars, probably about 6 blocks. Now I'm down on Carey Street, what they call Pig Town. I done went to a whole nother neighborhood and I'm still geeky. I'm in a state of psychosis, man. I'm hearing and seeing things. I'm drenched in sweat. That was awesome. I'm drenched in sweat. It's April, it ain't even that hot out. I go up into what we call Carroll Park. It's a little park in the middle of the city. And there's no cars in there, really. So I revert to hiding behind trees.
Right.
You know, so I run, it's a tree. I'm like this. And I don't know how this happened, but now somebody's chasing me. I can actually see the thing that I was running from the whole time. And out in Baltimore, like in the surrounding counties, out on people's lawns, they got this figure, right? And he stands like this. It's a piece of wood, though. And it's painted black, and he's got a cowboy hat, and he's got a gun. I don't know what the hell the purpose of that is. I think it's like a scarecrow or something. I don't know what it is. But that dude's chasing me. So I'm tree to tree, right? So I'm running. And look, when I'm high on that shit, I can see shit, hear shit that ain't even there. I'm seeing things behind me and stuff, man. I go tree to tree. I keep peeking out. Look out. There he goes. You know, we're like doing like this with each other, peeking out. I've run all the way across this park. It's got to be 50 trees. I don't even know how long this shit took. I have no idea, like, the time frame of this. I really don't. It had to be way longer than it should have been, though. Because God needed me to get every ounce of pain to lead me to that gift of desperation, man. Right? So I get to the, y'all heard of the last house on the block? I was at the last tree on the block. So I'm all the way over the other corner, Will. I'm on Washington Boulevard, Monroe, Will. Where the Montgomery Ward's building is? White Castle. Last tree. So now, and the tree wasn't that big, y'all. The last tree. But it was big enough where my face couldn't see the dude, but my rest of the body, if he was there, he could see me. So now I'm hiding behind a tree, littler than I am. Imagine that. And I see the front of a car. I hear the squeaky brakes. I see the blue metallic sticker line going down the side of it. It pulls up. I remember the rims on the Baltimore City police cars at that time was like the, they was like the classic, what kind of, the Crown Vicks. They had the Crown Vicks and it had that solid white, you know, that solid aluminum rim. And I see the front of that joint. So now I gotta make a decision because he's just sitting there. So obviously he's looking at me, but I'm not gonna look at him. Because I'm like, if I don't look at him, he might not see me. So I'm like hiding. His car's still there. I got dude over here now. So we can't, this ain't as easy as it looks, all right? It ain't like I can just go the other way because dude got me trapped in. I'm at the last street. Our best thinking got us here. Right? So I contemplate this. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. But at that time, and I'm going to tell you how insane this decision was, Baltimore City Jail is probably the worst institution in the state of Maryland. I'm talking about like being, it's a rough spot. I spent a lot of time over there. I was over there so much the COs knew my name. Hey, Beck, we got you. You going, you know, they looked out for me. I was so over there so much. My thinking said, instead of going and surrendering to this dude because he got a gun, just go surrender to the police, let them lock you up and go over city jail. You'll get away from him. Right? Because I wanted to get away from dude. So I walk up to the police. I'm trying to be cautious. You know, I don't want him to think I got anything or whatever. Kind of got my hands out. I'm drenched in sweat. I got like a shirt on with holes all pulled out that I used to use for cotton. Blood marks all over it. I get about 10 feet from him. He rolls his window down. He looks at me. I'm looking at him. I'm like, take me, man. And he just wound his window down, rolled his head, and took off, man. But this is where God comes into play. That was a Wednesday. Somehow I remembered that it was an NA meeting like two blocks from there. And I went into that NA meeting. A guy was sharing on step 8. The guy owed me money. Now I'm on the way back end of the last one, y'all. I'm depressed, I'm hurting, the guilt and shame has hit me, man. The emptiness, the look what you did. You know that look what you did place. We're only left, what is there left to do? We're faced with, right? So I didn't know what to do, man. And that's a good place to be for an addict at the end of the road. Because not knowing what to do means I don't think I know what I need to do. But I stick it out in the meeting because dude owed me some money. He was doing the 8th step. I figured he might make amends. No shit, man. I mean, if I can get $1.50, that's a start. I don't know what kind of addict you are, but if I can get 50 cents, that's a start for this addict. And after the meeting, I'm like, yo, you got that money? He's like, nope. He's a big, real big dude, man. 6'7", about 300 pounds. And I ain't even have the energy or the will to try to confront him or take it. I got my man to take me to a psych ward. Let's see what time it is. Went in there. Checked in. That was a Wednesday, Friday, I was ready to go. This is where that shit will backfire on you, man. I told the doctor, I said, bud, I'm good. I'm not gonna harm myself. This is Friday. I said, look, I'm good, I'm ready to go. He says, sir, based on your extensive record of suicidal attempts, ideations, and all this, I don't feel like I'm gonna let you go. I was like, what? You gotta let me go. Big ass dude was standing there like this with a white outfit on. He's shaking his head no. And I don't know, man. You're in a psych ward and they say you ain't leaving. Guess what? You ain't leaving. Them doors are thicker than prison doors.
No doubt.
So I didn't leave. I go into a homeless shelter, man, and I surrender. I surrender, man. Wesley S. comes in and shares a meeting. He just, I don't know what he said. He was crying. He was throwing shit. He was off the chain. I said, I need a sponsor. He said, are you willing to save your own life? Man, I tell you, man, recovery was in your face, man. I was a big dude. He telling me I don't know what I'm doing. But the desperation, the gift, it's how can desperation be a gift? When at the end of the road, when that butt whipping took me to a place where even though I wasn't convinced that I needed, I didn't know where I was heading when I got here. He just said, are you willing to save your life? I said, yeah. He said, then work the steps or die. The step working guide came out. I got the step working guide and we got busy, man. And I worked steps. Look, the girl came back, the one I was telling y'all about. She kept coming down. She found out where I was. She was trying to come in there and like disrupt things. Dude, the director made me go get an ex parte on her. Let me start sharing some experience, right? I had to go to the courts through the front door. Because I never really been to court through the front door for a long time.
No doubt.
I had to go through the front door and ask the court to keep this girl away from me. I'm in this process. I start working, man. I went and got a license. The director said, and you know, I'm working steps, man. I got a service commitment. I started taking meetings into a facility when I got 6 months clean. And the director said, because I stayed there for like a year. There was meetings there every day. I'm doing 90 and 90. I'm doing a meeting a day. I'm working steps. I remember when I went into MVA, right? I was a paranoid dude when I got clean, like, because I thought I did a lot of stuff when I was using. And I always thought it was going to come get me in life. Look, impending doom, right? Talks yep. about in the literature. You ever had your life so good you just swear something's gonna happen?
Oh yeah.
If something's gonna blow up here, it can't be this good.
Right.
So I'm down at MVA, I go in and the guard asked me to sign in. I'm thinking they're gonna lock me up. Because the guard asked me to sign my name. I leave. I'm like, oh shit, I forgot something, I'll be back. It took me another month. Talk to people, they're like, bud, they make you sign in when you go in there. It's a normal process. You're not unique. Long story short, just getting a driver's license. Mm-hmm. Then the director, somebody said, man, go to school. Go to college. I've never been to college. They said, go to college. I remember walking in Baltimore City Community College and applying. I was scared to death. I didn't know nothing about that process. And God, once again, did for me something I couldn't do for myself, man. The lady was sitting there. She was an older lady. She saw the fear in me. She said, come here, baby. And I went over there real gingerly and shit. She said, what's the matter? I said, I'm trying to enroll. I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. She said, this is what you got to do. You know, we talk about when coincidences and miracles start happening. You know, trust and faith, second step stuff, man. I'm starting to see the evidence. I keep going to school, man. I got with who is my wife today. You know, we're grinding it out, man. I get an AA degree. Something said, man, don't stop here. You know, things are good, man. Me and my wife. I wind up getting a bachelor's, man. I'm a dude that had a GED, man. Something said don't stop. You know, we got kids now. We had 5 kids. Well, she had 2 that came with us. I had 2 and then we had 1 together.
But we had five of them in the damn house, if anybody can relate to that. In a city row house. See, I'm a dude that grew up in basements. I grew up in city row houses. I know how to live in a basement. I got a master's. I got a master's degree, y'all.
Wow.
The director of the program I was in, the psychology program, she called me and said, "Frank, you're summa cum laude. Can you come up? Because I know you don't like to do all that stuff, walking the stage and all." She said, "I need you to walk the stage." I said, "What is summa cum laude?" I didn't know. All I did was went to school and, you know, and passed with good grades. And she's like, "You're top of the class." Wow. You know? I wound up getting a postmaster's. I wound up, look. Yo. Man, this wasn't the plan, newcomer. All I want to do is stop getting high. It says our message is that an addict, any addict, any, that's the anonymity piece, right, can stop using drugs. Don't say stop using. I got to remember, I came here to stop using drugs, man, and find a new way to live, right? The message is hope and the promise is freedom. So, the message is hope. Hope, this is hope. This is hope.
Amen.
This is hope actualized, man. We're sitting here on a Friday night listening to some crazy ass stories about hiding behind trees. The promise is freedom, right? Freedom. Freedom is at the top of the symbol. You know, freedom is the... freedom is the ability to accept me. After 20 years in this recovery process, after working the steps, after working traditions, after living the principles of this program, after sponsoring Buku guys, after being of service in Narcotics Anonymous, when I woke up this morning, y'all, and I went out back, I like to watch the sunrise. That's part of my freedom. And I'm reading my spiritual principle a day. And I'm reading my Just for the Day. And I'm texting some dudes. Because Just for the Day, I'll have a program. Yes, my program starts in the morning when I get up. Mm-hmm. Right? And I understand, man, that I woke up. I didn't have to wake up. Yo, before all this fentanyl shit, I had overdosed a couple times. Back in the 90s. Mm. Before fentanyl. And I got my two of my daughters with me. So they were like, "Daddy, we want to do something." One's 11, the other one's 18. And the night before, they seen a hair, you know, the nails, you know what I'm talking about, right? Get your nails done, your pedicure, your manicure, all that.
Oh God.
So they're like, so we were riding up to go to the Dollar General, and the place was open. So I go in, I'm gonna get to this real quick and then I'm gonna wrap it up. I work a lot. I have a couple businesses, right? It's crazy, because I never thought I could manage a business or anything. I said, "Look, you know, this is how I'll do, right? I'll pay for things, but I don't participate sometimes." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm being dad, right? Because I'm paying for it. You know, I'm paying for it. I'm being a man.
Huh? Your husband likes to pay with you.
And I left him there and I said, "Just get what you want." Because I had to go back and do some work. Yeah. And I go back to the hotel, it was only 5 minutes away.
I guess.
And something said, "Yo, go get a pedicure." Because I did that with them before, right? And it was cool, it was fun. It was, man. You ain't a punk if you get a pedicure, right? I used to think it took me 15 years to get a pedicure. They was always trying to get me to get a pedicure. I'm like, "Nah, I ain't doing that shit. Some dude or woman, well, if it's a woman, it's all right, but I ain't gonna have no dude rubbing on my damn feet." And every time I went, I got a dude. Ain't this a bitch?
Hell yeah.
You know? Yeah. But I got a woman today, thank God. But that shit don't even matter anymore, really, like that, because I just got better with it all. But something said, man, go be with your children, man. Go be with your children. This is freedom, right? This is being honest with self, man. And then something was like, nah, man, you good. Go ahead and knock this work out. And the thing pulled me. That conscious contact, right? Talks about we get a fleeting glimpse of God's will for us. Well, the fleeting glimpse said, enjoy the moment, Frank. Live in the moment, Frank. And I text him, I said, I'm coming to get a pedicure.
Yeah.
That shit was nice, man. If you can get a pedicure tomorrow, go get a pedicure. My feet feel on hella fresh right now. So I got these degrees, I got license in the state of Maryland to do addictions, treatment and all that. Right now I'm at a place where God is just, he's blessing me, man. Like God's grace he talks about in the 11th step. You know, and I don't know, again, here I am again at 20 years clean, just like I was at one day clean. I don't even know where this is taking me.
Yeah.
But guess what? I don't gotta know. This is the trust that we gain. Because I know members that have done the same thing with businesses. And y'all share with me what it's like. Because I get vulnerable and I talk about me to the group and to members. I had 3 calls just coming up here and I was talking to another addict, right? So here's the hit. You know, when I'm in line with God's will like this, this is when I gotta give, Frank. Because my gratitude speaks. How does my gratitude speak, man? Right? So if I'm being financially doing well, it's my job to help others, man. I understand that. I'm clear on that. I'm clear that if I'm asked to share, I don't care if it's 6 hours away and I got to get there. Or I'll go support people. It ain't always about sharing. You know? I don't know where God's taking me, y'all. But I trust the process. Mm-hmm. Narcotics Anonymous did exactly what it said and gave me a life beyond my wildest dreams. I don't even know what my wildest dream was when I got here, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Have a nice outfit with some slick ass shoes and shit. That was like a wild dream, man. I have no idea. And it ain't none of my damn business. I'm talking about trusting the process. Just keep showing up, newcomer. Don't use no matter what. Utilize us, the we of the program. Y'all, man, this is the hope, man. When y'all laugh, I'm like, okay, well, here we are. This is the group. The group is the most powerful vehicle. In the chapter, Why Are We Here? It says let me read it, because I'm going to mess that one up. And then I'm going to wrap it up. Keep saying that, don't I?
Mm-hmm. You're all good.
It says the ultimate weapon for recovery is the recovering addict. Listen, man, I couldn't have got clean if it wasn't for the message of Narcotics Anonymous that was lived by y'all. If I walked into a meeting and nobody said nothing to me, if y'all didn't take a chance and hug me, and I stunk. Y'all hugged me when I stunk, man. Hygiene wasn't top on the list. And this is what God, this is what the program calls for me to do, man. Hey, man, go talk to that addict that's in the corner, man, that nobody's talking to. Mm-hmm. Well, how about the one with the big things in his ears and with the long jacket thing on, looking like something off of a heavy metal band or something? Can I talk to that guy? Because anonymity tells me, right, that we are all the same at heart.
Yeah, say that again.
You know, that when I share from the heart, I reach a heart. But as I'm a member with experience in this process, it's my job to do the things that my disease says don't. That thing that separates says don't do. Don't talk to that country ass, you know. No, I struggle with that kid, I'll be honest. You know, I don't know what it's like to like grow up in the country and like, you know, ride four wheels and go fishing and shit, man. You know, so like when I got here, my disease was trying to separate me. I'm just being honest. You know, we ain't have grass where I grew up, y'all. It's all cement. But now I appreciate being able to come out and meet people in this fellowship, man. So I'm an addict, man, seeking recovery a day at a time, man, just for the day. I ain't got this. I'm not recovered. I keep working steps. I keep calling my sponsor. I go to meetings. I don't pick up. And I live clean, man. I can say that today. I ain't out here looking for nothing. I ain't on that tip. I'm focused. And it's taking me a place I've never been. And again, at the end of the day, what that is freedom. And that means that I can sit with me 90% of the time and understand what it is I'm sitting with, who it is I'm sitting with, be comfortable with myself a lot of the time, not need something outside of me to take me somewhere else. And that's only through y'all showing me this. Thanks for letting me share. Woo!
I'm an addict named Lance. Thanks, Frank. Looking forward to talking to you more this weekend.
Yes, sir.
We're going to try something. I know everybody here, at least once in their life, walked down a dark alley with money in your pocket and didn't know who the hell you were with. You had faith in that. So there's about 200 of us here right now. We did a quick count. Maybe over 200. We're going to try to make a circle along the bottom row and come out back here to the wood pile. So hang on to one another and work your way down, and we'll close this thing up.
Hold on. Watch this, man. Light on our boom now.
Dude, I thought
this
was her. I was
going to go down
the sidewalk. I don't sink in on
Donald's. Right.
Dude, I didn't do it.